Welcome, everyone, to episode 124 of 1 Hour, 1 Decision, 1H1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, well, is being legends in Minecraft worth our time?
I just want to play with Brocks.
All right. We could do that, hopefully.
Just like in kindergarten.
Yes. This episode, we're going to be talking about Minecraft Legends by, I believe this is a partnership development thing, Mojang Studios and Blackbird Interactive. And this game came out back in April of 2023.
Ooh.
Yeah. And this game I played on PC was 10.71 gigabytes. Tom, what about you?
This is shocking, Chris. We're starting to really see the turnaround here with the Series S and these modern titles. On the Series S, 7.2 gigabytes.
Ooh,
tremendous savings.
Tremendous. So good on them. And they are essentially a Microsoft studio, right? So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, if they couldn't figure this out, who could, right?
Yeah. Right. But what kind of game is this?
I put that it is a RTS and action game hybrid.
I put third-person real-time strategy game? Question mark. I added a question mark.
Are you not sure if it's a game?
I'm not sure if it's a real-time strategy game.
Okay. I was like...
But I could see where you went with that.
Yes. Coffee talk is game? Question mark. This is game for sure.
Yes, this is a game for sure. But what is that game loop in this game?
Okay. Well, much like other real-time strategy games, collect resources to build structures and soldiers. It's hard to say. Yeah. To defeat the piglin invaders.
Yeah. I just wrote save village outposts. I don't know what I was going on with that, but that's what we were doing essentially in this episode.
Yes. That is fair.
And to let everyone who's listening or watching know, we did play this game together because, and we'll get into it with our likes. I'm going to start off real quick. It has co-op.
Yes.
It is a cooperative game. I don't know how many people can actually play together.
At least four based on the trailer and advertising.
Ooh.
Because it shows like four players in unison. So
nice. So there you go. You could play this with four buddies or three buddies.
Yes.
You included. And play this out. There is a little caveat, though. You can't play co-op until you've passed the tutorial, which I feel like this has been a trend with a lot of games that I've played recently. They always want you to like kind of understand the mechanics, which I think is important. And I think another leads to my next like here, that it is a pretty extensive tutorial or a good enough tutorial to get you going with this game. So
yes.
Because it is not like you said, this is not your typical like third person adventure game. You're actually controlling units. You are building structures all on the fly. So, or in real time.
With strategy,
in
mind.
Strategy. Yes. You do want a strategy, this whole thing. So,
I guess going in a slightly different direction, I think the Minecraft aesthetic that they've used is definitely jazzed up versus regular Minecraft. It definitely looks better than regular Minecraft, but still retains that kind of cutesy art style, which means that it's going to be relatively evergreen and continue to, quote unquote, look good,
true,
you know, for years to come. It also had, I thought the cutscenes and the voice acting were pretty solid. So we would play through a sequence. And then it would cut to a cutscene. You'd watch a cutscene play out that moved the plot along.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who's played, you know, vanilla Minecraft, I was not really expecting that there's all this lore kind of cooked into this world. I guess over the decade or whatever since the original game came out, like they've really developed the world of Minecraft.
Yeah.
And I just was surprised by it. And I think it was well executed, you know, definitely, you know, 2 40-year-old men are not the target demographic here, but you know,
but
with that in mind,
we grew up with it.
We did. And there's it's entertaining enough. And for certainly if you were a child, I think it would be really great. So
definitely. Yeah. I'm curious if this has couch co-op. I don't think it does though.
That may be hard to pull off
that's true. Yeah, unless they had split screen, which I don't know what it's going to do. Yeah. That would be tough. You're right.
There's a lot on the screen to manage all that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, there is. That's a lot of management in this game. But I gotta say, the mechanics, the real-time strategy mechanics, are actually pretty good for all intents and purposes, because this, you know, especially if, when you're playing in a third-person mode where you're still controlling one character and then, you know, controlling other units and stuff like that, they simplified it enough, but it is still, it could be complex. It seems like there's like some layers to it in a way, but they, like I said, again, going back to this tutorial, they kind of, they just basically layer on top of it, like how, and then it was like a nice, way to do that. And as you're progressing through the regular story, they're giving you hints and like kind of reinforcing certain things as you play. So that was good.
Yeah, there definitely was, like, the tutorial is kind of the fast version and necessary, as you said, even to get into the real game and start playing with a friend. And then again, while you're playing through the campaign, they reiterate and reinforce those instructions. So certainly good to see it kind of all up front at first and then, you know, doled out as you need it.
Right.
Speaking of the controls, I liked that you can fully remap them. So if you are not, you know, playing on the controller, which I did, that can be, you know, a little bit of a challenge. So being able to change them around to whatever you want them to be is always appreciated by me. So kudos on that.
That is good. And I thought the soundtrack was pretty good. It kept you in this kind of fantasy vibe as you're playing the game, which, you know, I guess that's what they were going for with this whole lore and all that stuff. So I thought it did a good job of keeping us in, or at least keeping me in, that kind of mindset of playing this game. And I feel like the stakes in this game are at least ramped up pretty quickly, because at first it was like, you know, just save one village from a little bit of like a couple of these like piglins, and then a portal opens up and all hell breaks loose. And you're like, what the heck? So yeah, we had to figure out how to defeat said parties. So that was interesting.
Speaking of beating up the bad guys, I liked our little golem friends that we created.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed when they were successful and they celebrated and their animations were cute.
Yep.
I also liked being able to recruit all the woodland creatures into the army.
That's right. But did they actually attack? I forget if they did.
I have no idea. I certainly was not paying close enough attention. I could send them into battle. I don't know what they did thereafter.
Right. I think they kind of like, they're like, yay. And then like, oh no, we don't want to do this, and like run away or something.
Yeah. When you send like ducks and turtles to go fight pig monsters, you know.
And I liked also, since we were playing cooperatively, that your resources are shared
with your
buddies. So it's like, you know, you have an idea, like you have an overall idea of like, all right, how many structures can we build and stuff like that. So based on, you know, the resources that we collected, which was, I believe, was at the point that we were playing with stone, wood, and then eventually iron. But I'm sure there's a bunch of other resources that you'll pick up. Because, like, you know, as you're walking through the world, which is a pretty big, I would say it's a pretty big world, you see a bunch of like just random resources, and it's like, oh, what do you do with that?
So you just don't have a way to harvest them yet.
Not yet. Yeah, exactly. So anything else that you wanted to bring up here about lights?
I wanted to say I thought the fast travel was nice because, as you said, the world does get kind of big. Like our first trip to one of these like outer cities took a while.
It did.
And then once we did that, though, we were able to very quickly fast travel back to where we came from. So being able to hop around the map, especially when you're getting alerts, you know, you think about a real-time strategy game, right? And normally you're God, basically, and you could just mouse over there and now you're there. Yep. Obviously, you can't do that here. You have to get there because you're controlling a unit. And they've figured out, with the fast travel, a pretty good way of doing that.
Yeah.
To return to a base and defend it.
I do also want to piggyback off this and say that the other kind of neat thing that they added throughout the world is you have basically the best way I can describe it is almost like Mario Kart-like pickups. You know, yes. I mean, like you have to walk through them. So like there's like these reeds that make you go faster. There's literal mushrooms that you can run over that allow you to jump farther and higher. So there's things like that to help you traverse the world quicker as well when you don't have a particular fast travel point. So that was kind of neat to be able to, you know, get you to your destination as quick as possible.
Right. With it and encourage you to explore basically True. While you're on. Yeah, maybe the straight line path isn't the fastest path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Anything else here, or shall we?
I put one other thing that I enjoyed is because it is kind of, it is a real time strategy game. If you build sufficient units, you right. can send them off to battle and more or less walk away from the screen, which is, you know. If you have enough little Zerglings and you send them on a mission, you don't need to manage them. They're just going to go destroy the thing. So
just point them in the direction and then they'll just go do their thing.
That was fun.
I did like the animations of the stone golems. Yes. Because like, again, each of the units have their particular strengths and weaknesses. So you initially start out with like these wooden golems or whatnot that shoot arrows, and they're better against attacking other units, whereas the stone golems are great at destroying structures. And the stone golems, they just kind of like jam as quickly as they can against said structures. So it was funny to just watch them just go to town on these things. It was pretty funny.
It looked like little jackhammers going crazy on the
right. Exactly. Yeah. So, but we do need to get into our
dislikes. We do have to talk about things that weren't so good. I want to start by saying I was incredibly confused and annoyed that the text-to-speech was on by default.
Yeah, you're right.
It's weird. That's a weird choice.
Yeah, not sure why they did that. But
because the game starts talking to you, and I was like, is that coming through on Chris's end? Like, what is that? Yeah. And then Chris was like, no, that's your text-to-speech is on. And I was like, why? I didn't turn that on. It's like, oh, no, it just is on.
Yeah, ain't no sense. Yeah, it does it on both the Xbox and PC. So just to be aware of that. And yeah, I mean, I would say though, for me, like as cool it is to manage your units, the combat for your particular character just felt kind of lame. Like I felt like there were times that I didn't know if a hit was registering or not.
Yeah.
Something about that didn't feel right. So yeah, that was the one thing I know I wasn't like too fond of, because like I would just rather tell my minions to attack said things or whatnot. And yeah. I felt like the other issue I had was figuring out who actually had control, especially in our co-op
experience.
Who had control of said units? Because I would like try to issue commands, and I was like, I just brought these guys over. Why are they following Tom instead?
Yeah.
I mean, fine. It's, we get it. Tom is the more likable.
Well, you know, they saw me with my foxes and like, look at how this is definitely the guy we want to follow. All the woodland creatures are following him, too.
You're basically Snow White.
That's it's like this guy's got charisma.
Yeah.
It was more that I just kept spamming that rally button is what it was. So I just kept taking control of everyone in my vicinity.
Yeah, but
there are a lot of controls. I've got to say that, you know, to Chris's point, I think the tutorial does a good job of mapping it out or as best as you really can.
Yeah.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, especially on a controller, it's a lot. It's a lot to keep track of, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if I felt that way as a seasoned video gamer, right. I could imagine, especially a more casual person, somebody maybe who has only played Minecraft and then jumped into this, would be like, whoa, like there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
A lot to learn and to implement. And, you know, a lot of the things require like button combinations where it's like click this and press down here and then press this,
which
gets a little much.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember because this is a game that, you know, I think you and I have played something similar. We've played Brutal Legend.
Yes.
And I played an older game called Sacrifice, which I think Brutal Legend got its ideas from.
Sure.
That, you know, that kind of had this similar experience where it's a third person real time strategy game. And I'm trying to remember if Brutal Legend had as much complicated controls. But I think the problem is like, I mean, not the problem, but Brutal Legend was like you're just managing units. I don't think you were building units, or were you?
I don't recall building things in Brutal Legend. I remember issuing a lot of commands to people.
Yeah.
But
so it's that's been probably why it's simpler than this, because yeah, you're not just managing units, you're managing structures and deploying units from said structures and stuff like that. So,
but it wouldn't be Minecraft if you weren't building, right? So like they had to do it. You know, we were building bridges, we were building ramps, you know, adding to the terrain even outside of our own bases. You know, and when we would send out our little harvester guys, they would remove terrain. So like you're changing the world as you move through it.
Right. Right. I know you touched on this about the art style. I was never really a fan of like Minecraft's art style.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it looked okay for what it was, but I was still like, you know, maybe I'm just like so jaded with this whole like pixel art or boxy style that I'm like, I'm tired of seeing my kids in their Roblox and stuff like that. So like, this is just one more thing.
But in fairness, I mean, Minecraft really did get that ball rolling. So you can't really point the finger at Minecraft and blame them.
Yeah. Right, right.
So they're not copying anybody. They're copying themselves.
Right, right. Exactly. So that's totally fine. What other things that you didn't like about this
experience? I did not enjoy the automatic health regeneration, which it seems like a weird thing to nitpick, but for me, at least, it removed any real danger from the whole experience. Like, I was never in any real danger unless I was being incredibly reckless. And then I could just walk away. I just walk away from being reckless, and I was not pursued. I was not like, the enemies are just like, well, he's leaving. Just let him go, I guess. And I just needed to walk far enough away from the arrows and things, and then I'd go get right back to full health. And because the army is still busy at work, you know, knocking things down,
right?
I just walk back in, start swinging my sword again. Like, I never really thought we were in any kind of danger, or that, you know, we were up against the clock. It didn't feel like we were challenged in any real way.
Sure. Yes. And in terms of combat and stuff like that, again, while you're set, I agree that the health regeneration was kind of lame, because like, there was that. I also thought the fact that I couldn't do any damage to the structures was kind of weird too, because like only my units were able to make damage to the structures. So I was like, what's going on? Why you do this to me, Minecraft? Why, you know, like, I would think like if you're able to build stuff, you should be able to destroy stuff too.
Yes. And perhaps later in the game, you'll get something that will let you do that.
That's fair.
Because, you know, there were quite a few open spots on all of those various screens and the build screens. And there are definitely plenty of like spaces available for future things to be unlocked.
Right. There's one. I see one more thing here that I on your dislikes that I definitely want to make sure you get on, which is the shared experience.
So Chris hosted the experience, right? And we both needed to get through the tutorial. Once Chris was done with the tutorial, he was able to invite me into his world. I started up my own world and then joined his world, like in the middle of mine. Right. And we learned that at the end of the experience, I have nothing. I have nothing on my end to show for my work with Chris. Everything is on his game in his world.
Yeah.
So it does feel kind of lame in that, like, I spent an hour, you know, or so playing this game and basically have nothing to show for it. I have the experience of understanding how to play.
Right.
But, you know,
nothing carries over. Yeah. It's
no resources. No. As far as I can now, not even like the unlocks. Like, I think I'm going to have to go and re-unlock all those things if I wanted to play by myself. See, so.
And this is one thing I thought that Grounded did really well, is you can have a shared world. And even though there's one host, you can, like, another person can join that shared world after the fact. And like, anyone can just pick up and go, as long as it's been, you've been in that world. So that was like, it'd be cool if Minecraft Legends did that eventually, just so that, again, where you're trying to do your own experience or whatnot, it's like, okay, I have to start all over, which is kind of crappy.
Yeah.
I totally agree, but
nobody likes to start over.
No, it stinks. Anything else before we get to our other thoughts?
I am ready to move on.
Okay, so this game, How Long to Beat, says it takes about 8 hours to complete. The campaign. The campaign takes about 8 hours. Which, speaking of which, there are other things to point out, which is there are other modes. Like, you can play against each other, PvP.
Oh, that's right.
And there's some sort of, like, weekly challenge mode as well, or something like that, which is kind of neat.
Okay.
Pretty cool if you want to do that, so... Yeah, and this game is cross-platform and cross-gen, so your Xbox One, Tom, could be playing this as well.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this also has cloud saves, so I'm assuming that this game is xCloud compatible, but you definitely need a controller for this, because there's no way you'll be able to play this with touchscreen.
No,
it would be quite the challenge. But and yeah, as we talked about, though, this game does have like that brutal legend and sort of sacrifice feel to it. And you'd mentioned some other game here.
Yeah. So thinking about it, there is a mode in Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars, mm-hmm. where you basically are working through the Clone Wars and you're building bases as the, you know, the Republic trying to beat back the Separatists. And it has a very similar kind of vibe to it, where it's, you're building all these soldiers, you're building towers, you're building it's, and you control, just like any other Lego game, you control a little Lego guy. So you're going around, swinging your lightsaber around, and you can engage things unit to unit. You can hop in vehicles and fly around and do things in the vehicles, but you're also sending your men and soldiers and things into battle at the same time. So it just reminded me, I guess the takeaway is, back when Brutal Legend came out, it felt like a very weird and novel concept.
Yeah.
No longer is this a special kind of game. That there are quite a few games like this where they blend the genres together.
Right. You know, it's a unique take for sure.
Yeah.
And so I guess we got to get into our final thoughts, don't we, Tom?
Yes. Yes, yes,
but
yes.
Before we get into that, I do want to thank our sponsor, CDKeys.com, for, you know, supporting the show and giving you guys an opportunity to get some really cool stuff on CDKeys.com. They've got PC, Xbox, PlayStation stuff. Check them out. Always got great deals, almost sometimes even 90% off of games. So, you know, not bad. Not bad at all. We got daily deals also. So check them out and check out our link in our podcast description or the YouTube description. So.
I love a good deal, Chris. So
yeah, we do. We know that. We know that, Tom. That's why Game Pass is one of the best deals in gaming. But
it's hard to beat.
It is hard to beat. But is this a game that we're going to be keeping on our respective consoles or PCs?
So really, and you know, we saved it for last in the dislikes, but I think it's very important, which is that I'm really bummed that I didn't get to keep any of my progress, mm-hmm. like. I had fun playing with you, Chris, you know, and I was like, darn, you know, so I think I'd be willing to continue to play this with you, you know, if we wanted to try to beat that story mode together, especially knowing that we can add a couple more people to it. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's the other thing to keep in mind is that, like, that How Long to Beat, let's say they say it's 8 hours. 8 hours single player probably doesn't look like 8 hours multiplayer, because you can share the load and, you know,
right.
There was a point where Chris needed to get down to a base that I was already at.
Right.
By the time he got there, I had basically delivered a killing blow to the bad guys there, and we were able to move on.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So we could. And there are times where the objective is to go after three different places or whatnot.
Yeah.
So we could, you know, like you said, share the load and go over one area and then and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So,
you take the left, I take the right, and we could get it done in half the time.
Goopy do it, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. For me, I feel like this game, I did have a good, like you, I had a good time playing this game. But would I continue this game by myself? Probably not. But yeah. Hey, this was one of those games, like, I haven't really played Minecraft, and to really get this was a fun way for me to get introduced into the world and the whole lore and all that fun stuff. So, yeah. So those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D, or issue us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com. Check out our next streams on Twitch at twitch.tv/1H1D. And if you're watching this on YouTube, send a comment down below. Maybe not something about Puyo, but, you know, we will try to respond to it. 1H1D is part of that QTB network, and if you like all great gaming content, check out all that stuff on quitthebuild.com/network.
It's a whole network, Chris.
It's a whole network. Not just us anymore. And the QTB guys. There's a bunch of people. But let's find out what we're playing next, shall we?
We do need to know. Yes. Very important.
Indeed. Surprise your button. Tell us what is episode 125. Here we go. Oh, okay.
And?
Cricket 22.
Or like 22 little bugs?
No, like the sport. Not Jiminy Cricket, but the sport cricket.
All right. I don't know anything about cricket, but I think we're about to find out.
We are about to find out. So that is it for this episode, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.